Good morning, radio listeners, and since it's still early in the year 2020 and the Chinese New Year was just a week ago, I guess I can still wish all of you a Happy New Year and hope that all is well with you, with the assurance that you are in the embrace of the infinite light and life that is Amida Buddha. Speaking of the New Year and its accompanying resolutions and myths surrounding it, human beings are highly susceptible to confusion. Thoughts of fortune-telling, charms, and other superstitions with no basis in scientific fact linger in our minds and may lead us astray. Once we do that, we tend to reject truth with a closed mind that confuses cause and effect. How much human misery is caused by such thinking? The real distinction between superstition and reality lies in a correct or reasonable relationship between cause and effect, a dependent origination. If the presumed cause and effect relationship is wrong, the idea is then superstition. In Japan and in Hawaii as well, many people will celebrate a man's 42nd birthday with a lot of fanfare and parties to try and stave off ill fortune. As you know, the numbers 4 and 2, making up 42, and is read as Shi and Ni. You put them together and it reads Shini, or to die. In the Western world, the number 13 is deemed to be unlucky, and many hotels do not have a 13th floor. Many airlines as well do not have a flight 13. The number 7 is considered lucky in the West, while in China, 8 is a lucky number. And in the East, many hotels do not have a 4th floor. Rudolf Steiner, a psychologist, demonstrated that even non-humans display superstitious behavior. He performed an experiment to see if pigeons are superstitious. Usually it is advisable to feed the pigeons given amounts of foods at a certain time. But for the purpose of this experiment, Steiner did not do this. He fed them according to his own whim. Sometimes he would not feed them for 2 days. The feeding was irregular and unpredictable, and the pigeons would become very hungry. Then, when food was given to them, they would be happy. At last, food, they would seem to say, feeling the relief from hunger. After a while, they would become hungry again. This time, they seemed to remember whatever they were doing the last time they were fed. Some were chirping or squawking with hunger pangs. Then, making noise, they were fed food. They immediately assumed that the food came because they were cooing. The next time they became hungry, they thought it might help if they did the same thing, and so they did. Then, when they became desperate and were chirping and squawking steadily, they were again fed. Then the pigeons thought, sure enough, if I make noise, I get food. However, not all the pigeons were squawking when the food arrived. Some of them were flapping and flying around. Those pigeons came to believe that they received food because they were flying. Other pigeons were so hungry they had no energy for squawking or flying, and they were just standing still. The next time they became hungry, those pigeons just stood still. However, all of these approaches were wrong in terms of cause and effect. The pigeons never received food because they were flying around, squawking, or standing still. They were fed only because of Steiner's whim. Nevertheless, the pigeons came to believe its feeding behavior was a result of something they were doing, and developed this belief into a behavioral routine. In other words, those pigeons established and acted upon an invalid cause and effect relationship between food and cooing, squawking, dancing around, or standing still. Humans are the same. Dancing for rain is a superstitious behavior that is exactly like the pigeons. People whose livelihood is in agriculture become desperate for rain at times. Hundreds of years ago, most people lacked advanced irrigation equipment, and they had to rely completely on natural rain. To anyone subsisting on agriculture, drought conditions were life-threatening. They prayed fervently for rain. Then, having prayed fervently, rain would come. Thank the gods, they would all say. When rain failed to fall day after day, the people would worry and suffer. When the rains came, they would be ecstatic. They would jump for joy for the long-awaited rain. Then the next time there was a drought, they would think, well, the last time rain came, we danced. In a few months, the world of Buddhism will celebrate and observe the annual Obong season with the traditional Bong festival dances. Even as we rely wholeheartedly on Amida Tathagata, Some Jodo Shinshu temples will hang a so-called terubozu that hopefully will prevent rain from falling that night. When we become deeply attached to an idea, we believe with certainty that if we do X, then Y is supposed to happen. If we dance and it doesn't rain, something is wrong. There must be a cause for the failure. It's easy to create other causes. For example, the last time everyone danced. This time, a certain family refused to dance. Unless everyone danced, the gods remain angry and will refuse to make the rain fall. It is so easy to put the blame on others if the rules are not followed. To avoid such blame, unbelievers are forced to go along with the rest. These examples are easy to see, but people develop much more troublesome superstitions and spiritual causes are asserted. Like, for example, everyone is dancing, but it still does not rain. There must be some other reason. True, everyone is dancing, but not everyone is sincere. Everyone has to be sincere. If any of the villagers harbor doubts, the magic will not work. This sort of logic exists even today. People always look for reasons outside themselves. In nearly all cases, the cause-effect relationship is erroneous, but we are unaware of the superstitious way of thinking in our everyday life. Baseball players and managers do this all the time, even football coaches. A former UH coach would eat Thai food as his pregame meal before each game because he won a big one once. In all things, the cause must match the result. If you want the result, you must create the cause. If you want to inhale, you must first exhale. It was Shakyamuni Buddha who first taught thoroughly about the ultimate principle of cause and effect. Natural science advances according to the karma of cause and effect. But in daily life, we tend to forget this law. We continue to live knowing that our own lives are steeped in superstition and irrational cause-effect relationships. In the book, The Teaching of the Buddha, in the chapter on causation, it says that there are causes and conditions for all human suffering, and there is a way by which they may be ended, because everything in the world is the result of vast concurrence of causes and conditions, and everything disappears as these causes and conditions change and pass away. Renyo Shoning, the eighth Monshu, admonishes us not to rely on superstitions in order to be born into the Pure Land. He said to take refuge, rely upon the three treasures of the Buddha, Dharma, and the Sangha. Some Sundays, the English translation of Ryogyemong is read. It is a creed admonishing us to abstain from all sundry practices, disciplines, and beliefs, and to rely wholeheartedly on Amida Buddha with the assurance of birth into the Pure Land. Amida Buddha, the central Buddha, is the central Buddha in Jodo Shinshu. Only through him we attain Buddhahood in the Pure Land, as he is the only one who made the vow of universal salvation, no matter their spiritual capacities. We also honor Shakyamuni, who was the teacher who showed us the path of Amida, his sole reason for his appearance in this world, to take refuge in the Buddha about Amida that was preached by Shakyamuni Buddha and further explained by the seven masters of our tradition, and especially Shinran Shoning and Renyo Shoning. By taking refuge in the Dharma, we indirectly reject such false views held by many that contradict such sacred texts. By taking refuge in the Sangha, there are those lay and priests alike who have received Xinjing in the present life and whose future birth in the Pure Land is assured. By taking refuge in them, we wish to be like them and we consider them to be fellow travelers on the path, our brothers and sisters in the Buddha Dharma. These we venerate as the three treasures. I go to the Buddha for guidance. I go to the Dharma for guidance. I go to the Sangha for guidance. Namo Amida Butsu. Thank you very much for tuning in to this White Way broadcast, and be rest assured of Amida Buddha's light to continually shine on you and yours. Namo Amida Butsu.